4. This is a recording for the Madison Heights Historical Commission done on October 23, 1985 in the Direct City Librarian's Office of Madison Heights. Present today are Ann Edwards, Daryl Davis, John McCrina, and City Attorney Harry Young. We're in the Madison Heights Public Library, and with me are four people who were instrumental in the establishing of Madison Heights as a city. Harry Young, our present city attorney, John McCrina, Daryl Davis, and Ann Edwards. And I am Madison Heights City Librarian Michael Deller. Harry, I think we'll let you begin, and then others will join in as they see fit.
I believe it was sometime in 1954 when I was trying to organize an area called the City of Southfield Park, which was then a portion of Southfield Township, and included the area from Greenfield to Inkster, from 8 Mile to 9 Mile Road. We had formed an association, and we were about to have an election for the approval of the charter of Southfield Park. Unbeknownst to me, at these meetings, I held several public meetings, and unbeknownst to me, there were present Ann Edwards, her husband, Daryl Davis, John McCrina,
Virginia Salberg,
Ted Cran,
who later became city mayor of the city. They were all part of the, what was the name of your association, John?
In Madison, or the
Knights Businessmen's Association.
No, it was just a civic association
at that time.
Although they had no interest, true interest, in the incorporation of the City of Southfield Park, which later became part of the City of Southfield, they were interested in forming a group for the incorporation of part of Royal Oak Township, which later became the City of Madison Heights. At that time, well, incidentally, the vote for the approval of the charter failed by about 60 votes, and I received a call, I believe, from Ann Edwards, to asking me if I was interested in assisting the people in the Civic Association to help them incorporate what is now the City of Madison Heights. I told them that I was. And but I didn't know the area they were talking about. I knew that there was a Royal Oak Township, but I always thought that to be the area around 8 Mile in Wyoming. But they indicated that there was another area, which was between DeQuinder and Campbell Road or Stevenson Highway. In any event, I was invited to a dinner at Ann Edwards' home, at which time I met with John McCrina, Daryl Davis, Ted Crenn, Ann Edwards. Who else is there?
Charles Edwards. Virginia Salberg.
Oh, Virginia Salberg. Mm-hmm. They told me that this area where Ann lived was part of Royal Oak Township, so that actually what was then Royal Oak Township consisted of two areas. One, the 8 Mile Road area, and the other, the area from 10 to 14 and from DeQuinder west to Stevenson Highway or Campbell Road. That both areas of Royal Oak Township had their own police department, their own fire department, and each area had 10,000 residents, so that they were pretty equal. It was run by the township supervisor and his board, and they desired to break away from the area on 8 Mile Road. We then formed a committee and went out and solicited signatures for an incorporation vote. The first vote that we had to elect 9 charter members. The way this worked was you first voted on whether or not to incorporate a certain area and whether or not to elect the 9 charter members who ran for all of that office. If the vote was negative, then the vote for the 9 members was meaningless. If the vote was positive, that is, the voted to incorporate the area, the 9 members would then be deemed to be elected, and the individual receiving the highest number of votes would be the mayor pro tem. The first vote on the chart on the incorporation was during the early part of 1955, I believe.
No.
Is that right?
First vote was in 54.
Was it in 54?
Yes, the last 54, the incorporation election was successful, and on January 24th, 1955 we became a city. No, I'm wrong. The first vote was 53. And then in January 24th, 1954, you seated your first charter commission with 9 members.
Right. And then what, the one with the highest votes became the chair?
No. There was a, I should have brought the minutes. There was a vote by the 9 charter commissioners.
To select their chair.
Yes, and of course they all nominated each other.
No, I think the one receiving the highest number of votes became mayor pro tem, because you recall subsequently the petitions to form a new charter commission had to be served upon the mayor pro tem.
The new charter commission was served upon Virginia.
Yeah,
well, and she was secretary.
No, she was mayor pro tem.
Was she mayor pro tem?
Yeah, mayor pro tem.
Oh.
So the one receiving the highest number of votes became mayor pro tem.
Mm-hmm.
And all subsequent the matters had to be served upon her or upon the mayor pro tem. In any event, we met and we followed the as a format, we found the charter of the city of Lathrop Village. That seemed to be a fairly good charter at the time. And we then submitted the approval of the charter to the electorate. In that first charter, we did not provide for the incorporation of Act 78.
Right, for the police and fire.
Which is a civil service commission, which provides for a civil service commission for police and fire department. So the police and firemen decided they weren't going to vote for the charter, and they went out and I guess they campaigned against it.
Yes.
So the charter was defeated. The first charter was defeated. Now, at that time, the opponents of the charter had 10 days within which to collect 75 signatures and serve them upon, or wait, 300 signatures and serve it upon the mayor pro tem, who was Virginia Salberg. Knowing this, we discussed the matter and decided that Virginia was not to leave the city. She was to be visible, but she was to be unapproachable. That's exactly what happened. Now, the Salbergs had a restaurant on the corner of Greek, was it?
Yes, Greek.
Greek and DeQuinder, a little restaurant. And she worked in the restaurant. And people from the township who opposed the charter would come in and they would see her and they would try to get to her, but they couldn't. So they went to the county attorney's office, who incidentally was a very knowledgeable person, but occasionally he got a little careless, and he advised them to make Xerox copies of the thing, do you remember?
Uh-huh.
And they were to file the original petitions with the county clerk and just lay the copies on her doorstep. He says that would be good enough. Well, that wasn't what the law said. The law said the mayor pro tem must be served with them. And but nevertheless, that's what they did. So, and when 10 days had elapsed, we reconvened the Charter Commission and we incorporated Act 78 by reference and sent the thing up to Lansing for approval again. And in the meantime, they had hired Clark Adams. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Now, Clark Adams had been a Supreme Court justice appointed by Menin Williams, but he was defeated for election to the Supreme Court. But the Menin Williams then reappointed him to a position in the Circuit Court. But he wasn't, I think this was either in June or July of 1955. And he was to be take office in January of 56. So he was still able to practice law in the interim, and they thought they had it made. Now, there were three judges in Oakland County at the time. There was Judge Doty, Judge Holland, and Judge Hartree. And, of course, Judge Adams was going to be one of them in January. But, and they thought surely none of the judges would vote against him. So, but these judges felt that they couldn't sit on the thing because it was too close to home. So they had the court administrator in Lansing appoint another judge to sit on this. And who should they appoint but Lila Nunfeld? You remember that?
Yes.
Lila Nunfeld was the only woman circuit judge in the state of Michigan at that time.
Oh, wow.
And she happened to be a fairly good friend of mine. I didn't know that she was going to sit there. And they didn't know either. It was just coincidental. Well, we got up and we argued the thing. Adams argued that our second charter should not be approved and should not be submitted to the electorate and so forth. And she listened and she lambasted Clark Adams with good. Remember, she ripped into him. Oh, did she rip into him? But anyway, she set it aside. And I think Clark never forgave me for that. I had some other matters before him and he. But anyway, nevertheless, the thing went through. We then had another election, and the thing was approved.
Now, when was it that the borders of the township were changed?
Oh, the borders of the township were changed just prior to the first election. The township supervisor, a fellow by the name of Horky, who was no fool. He was an attorney, but he certainly he didn't practice law, but he knew what the score was. He was smart. When we filed the petition for incorporation the first time, he immediately got a hold of Royal Oak School District, was it school district?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And had them annex. No, it had to be the city of Royal Oak. It had to be the city of Royal Oak because they annexed that portion.
So it's just the school district that was affected.
No, that wasn't
it. Spoiled the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Cut that,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the school district wouldn't have made any difference.
Right.
The boundaries for the city's
boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I remember one thing.
The supervisors all gave it away. That's when they turned it over to the.
Okay. They got a hold of the city of Royal Oak at the time, and they didn't need a vote of the people, but the city council and the mayor there and the township board agreed that that area should be annexed to the city of Royal Oak. Where is that area? That's on Campbell Road.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Just south of 14. On the east side of Campbell.
Yeah. So, well, we didn't fool with them. We, rather than go back, they thought we'd go into court and squabble with them. We didn't. We just dropped those petitions, went out and got some new ones, signed with the new
boundaries.
So that didn't stop us at all. We weren't about to fight over that, something like that. And that's how a part of the city gained Royal Oak.
I know one thing, you gained a lot of respect and when you beat them in Neuenfeld's court. I'll tell you that. we was bossing the city after that.
Let's see.
Was supposed to be an outside judge with her attorney mm-hmm. in Oakland County, didn't have a chance.
No,
he straightened them out a little bit.
It's still that way there, you know. Good old boys, mm-hmm. they have their own clique. But I've never had any trouble there.
Now, when you started, the group was simply known as a civic association.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then at what point, now I've heard a variety of stories as to the point when the city suddenly got its name.
What happened was at this first meeting, when we were talking, I told them we had to select a name to put in the petitions that we were going to file for incorporation. And we started banding things around, and I said, well, what's the name of the school district here? And somebody said, Madison. Well, that's a good name. Inserted that.
Now, John, you've been ascribed a role in that choice, I hear.
Here's how it actually came about, Harry. I was sort of in politics when Porky was a supervisor, and I was on the Board of Review, and kind of active in the township. And I kept after George Horky to incorporate. And he agreed, yeah, it's a good thing, year after year to incorporate, but not at this time.
Uh-huh.
Not at this time. Every time I'd approach him with it, he said, yeah, that's a good idea.
The big farm, that's the reason he didn't want to.
He had a good thing going.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he was the whole government.
That's right. As supervisor, he ran everything.
So I finally says, he says, I have petitions all drawn up and everything, ready to go whenever the time is right. So I says, One day I went in there. I said, George, give me those petitions. I'm going to start this myself. So he gave me two petitions. I said, what the hell am I going to do with with two petitions. So we went out and got new ones made. I think that's when we organized the Civic Association. And on this petition was Madison, Michigan. And we did present those to the Oakland Board of Supervisors, who had to approve of these petitions before they, I don't know if they even went to Lansing, and discovered that there already was a Madison, Michigan. So we got the whole gang of us, eight of us, said, all right, why not just add something to it? And we added Heights, Madison Heights. But the original idea was that the south end had a greater voting capacity than did the north end. Therefore, they wanted to remain a township, and we knew that we couldn't do anything unless we kind of
got them in.
So that's the reason for the Madison, to give them a little prestige down there, Madison School District. So then after we did that, we met with Harry many times, and we didn't have any money to pay him with.
He never was paid.
So we said, well, if we become a city, we'll give you the first crack at being city attorney. And he was agreeable to that. And although we couldn't guarantee him anything, because we didn't even know if we were going to be in office.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So from there, it went to where somebody, I don't think it was the police and fire department so much as the
mayor.
Yeah, and also the township board. With all, everyone against it, everyone but a few in the city hall that were working there were against becoming a city, because they were all afraid they were going to lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we assured all of them, oh, we're not gonna fire you. You can work on if you want to. So Dorothy stayed. She was assistant, but she stayed.
And Myrtle Chamberlain.
Myrtle Chamberlain was the one that was the...
Sarah Bradford was clerk.
Clerk, yeah. But she didn't...
She didn't stay.
No, she didn't stay.
Hank Shanka stayed.
Shanka stayed. And
Hardik run?
No, he ran. He had to go with George. let's see. So we had a treasurer, didn't we? Yes.
Houston was treasurer, and he left.
Oh, Houston was treasurer. Then we made somebody treasurer.
John, what happened is, the day after the election, nobody showed up at City Hall.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody. They all left. So when we incorporated and became a city, we were sworn in on December the 8th, 1955. On December the 10th, the new council met and hired John McCrina as temporary city manager at $150 a week.
Right. Oh,
no money to pay
him.
But it sounded good.
The only reason that I was appointed was I was the only one that wasn't on an hourly basis. I was on a commission basis. I was selling storm windows and stuff like that, door to door. And I was the only one that could take off time enough to do. Now, I was not only manager, I was the electrical inspector, the general inspector,
right,
the building inspector, the plumbing inspector.
Purchasing agent.
George Horton.
Yes.
Assessor.
Yep.
I was just everything, and I knew. I knew very little. But in the inspections, there were quite a few new homes started, and of course, the builders knew that I was green, but I had a two or three good builders that guided me and told me where, if any, that violations were made by the shyster builders. So I'd go to them after somebody else had pointed it out to me. I'd say, hey, you want to work here after we get going? Do the job right. I didn't even know what to do.
Speaking about that, we also had a problem with water. Water and sewer, do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
What had happened, these builders would come in and pick up lots, and they'd come into the township hall and ask them if they had water and sewer. And they would say yes. Well, the water and sewer were totally inadequate. I mean, just couldn't handle the capacity there. And the State Board of Health started coming down. And one of the builders accused me of putting the State Board of Health on him. And he was a big builder here, Karam. And I didn't know Karam from Adam. And anyway, they shut him down, and we had a heck of a time. In addition to that, we found out that we didn't own our own water and sewer department. Do you remember that? And
who owned it?
Township. They were working out of, they had all the money. They were working out of Hazel Park. Who was the fellow that was at the head of the water?
Nisus.
Anyway, they were going to hang on to it. We went into court because there were bonds involved. And we had one heck of a time. We finally arrested the car, the sewer and water department, away from them, because that's where the money was. In the meantime, we didn't have a dime one to operate with.
No.
So, hat in hand, we went to Royal Oak Township on 8 Mile Road. Fellow by the name of Elwood.
Yeah, Elwood Dickens. Elwood
Dickens. Yeah.
He was the town. He is then the township supervisor. When we incorporated, he took over being township supervisor for Royal Oak Township. And I don't know who went with me. I guess
I did.
Did you go with me?
Every payday, we went to Royal Oak Township.
And they would give us checks. And it was a heck of a way to operate. Then we, Lloyd Ferguson, incidentally, was elected first mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a real fine person. And we wanted to get a city manager. And so we were open for suggestions. And somebody suggested that we get a fellow by the name of Don Smith, who had worked for the Michigan Municipal League. And we would pay the league $25 to send him down to our meetings to expound the virtues of being a home rule city. And he did a nice job, we thought. So do you remember when we had a meeting, I think it was on a Saturday,
mm-hmm.
in the bay, we would meet in the basement of the old township hall. And I said, well, why don't I try and get a hold of Don now and see if he'll take the job? So I called him up. He lived in $6,000 a year from the Michigan Municipal League. He says, well, I'd be glad to take the job, but I'd want to raise that much.
I consulted the powers that be there, and they said, well, let's get $7,000. So I offered it to him, and he grabbed it and came down. Well, his problem was that he started taking sides, you know. He thought he was getting into politics instead of keeping out of politics.
Uh-huh.
He started taking one side against the other, and he had the first council in uproar.
Well, he kept hiding money.
And
we didn't find it until two years and a half after he was out of office. Yeah.
We went on record as writing a budget in 14 days. It has never been done by anybody.
Mm-hmm. What was the first one? You remember?
Oh, it was, I think it was like $30,000.
$30,000 for this city?
Mm-hmm.
Well, really the only money we had to begin with was what we bought.
Taxes didn't come in until some time later.
Well,
Citibank,
and then
we of our trouble, though, if you remember. Citibank up here. They started financing it. Or the payroll over there. Citibank.
I didn't get into that.
With Henry Graham.
No,
Henry Graham.
That's
he helped us out, the City National Bank.
The, Henry Graham?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the name of a man or a dream?
It's also a dream. He's dead now, so it's a dream. But he is, it's a man.
It's a man.
He, at that time, ran the City National Bank. I've got an article on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that helped the city with the first checks after the ruffle with Royal Oak Township.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Royal Oak Township moving in on us and taking over City Hall?
Yeah.
And our employees did not get along with the Royal Oak Township employees. At the same time, we had to more or less train them in government. And things really got tight when Don came in as manager. And John and the council threatened to move the whole city employee over into a storefront and charge back the township for the rent. So they moved out on a Saturday. They even took the water fountain.
The problems that we had trying to get the first corporation vote. We had some friends in the police department. Now, when we were campaigning for the incorporation, we had signs made up on tick. We didn't have any money, but we begged a little money from different people. But what strikes me as the funniest part was we had a silk screen sign, red and black. It said, "Vote yes for incorporation in the city of Madison." And, well, things were torn down. The signs were torn down. They were other signs put up right on top of our signs. And finally, we put the signs up with ladders on the pole. And then they got rakes and rake them off. And then I believe it was George Horky's idea that they would leave the signs up, but it was vote yes for incorporation, City of Madison Heights. George had stickers made up of no, N-O, instead of, and they plastered them right over the yes. But those signs never got to see the day of light, because as soon as the police department saw somebody out working on our signs, we'd get a telephone call saying, hey, they're out. So by 5 o'clock in the morning again, we were out there putting signs back up taking off the no. this was the funny part. This is what a lot of people don't know about the former Board of Supervisors. I mean the
Township Board.
That they were very, very, very devious in their methods of trying
to... They were clever.
And also, there was Eagler Printing, you remember?
Yeah.
He put out a little paper, just about the size of this, two sheets, and George Horkey owned that. I mean, that was his. He had his free advertising against the city every week. Every week that this came out, he had a big article, a long, full-page article. That's about all was in the thing, other than a little advertising. And he had his free advertising. He was a good writer. He was smart, and he would try to get the people to understand that it would cost too much for city government. Our taxes would go sky high and things of that sort. So he would always say to vote no, it isn't the right time.
Then we had the problem of annexation by Hazel Park. They wanted an
annex. Yes.
The friendly city.
Hazel Park,
yes.
Wanted to annex the south portion,
right,
of Madison Heights, or the township at that time, because that's where the tax base was. There was nothing north of 12 to speak of.
Mm-hmm.
All of the people lived in the south end.
Well, I attended a lot of meetings on 8 Mile Road there where Hazel Park and the township was trying to incorporate the whole thing into one, but that never did work out.
Well, was
one
that
thing I remember in our election, with the council's permission, I went to Pontiac, hired the sheriff's department to have a man at our polling booths, because we didn't trust our police department, our official, you know, the township officials at all. And I was there when Mrs. Bradford came in, going to challenge votes and disrupt the election. And when I had this fellow from the sheriff's department in uniform, I says, either tell him to get out of here or we're going to lock him up. He says, whatever you say. And that was it. They walked out, and that kind of killed that part of it, but they would have taken
Did
over.
They have an election? I wasn't aware of that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that was our first charter, the first incorporation election when we had the sheriff's department there.
We've even had, in them days, we had them swearing in new voters on one end of the line and voting on the other, which is as illegal as anything there was. We knew there was, you know, it's things like that that they'd done that wasn't right at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they weren't cutting off registration before.
Yeah, but I'd done that under the...
I think Horkey knew every trick in the book.
Yes, he did.
Well...
Well, now, you mentioned the annexation that had been proposed by Hazel Park. Was that the principal reason that the Civic Association was formed, or were there other reasons that people could see for incorporating?
No, that came long, long after we had our Civic Association.
I see.
That was one of their methods of saying to the south end of these people, we don't want to be a part of Hazel Park, so let's just stay as we are.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Remain township.
Yes.
The Civic Association was formed because of the road conditions. We lived for years without telephones. We couldn't get telephones. There were no services. and yet our tax dollars were going to support a separate police and fire department in Royal Oak Township, and we weren't realizing any benefit.
Wasn't it 82, 13%?
I said
they paid about 13, and we paid 82?
We paid 84.7.
Well, anyway, we was paying the majority.
So anyway, that's why we formed, remember?
Mm-hmm. They just had as many police and firemen on 8 Mile Road as we did here.
They had more.
They had more?
Mm-hmm. They had more. They had one or two more than we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just constant. And the only one benefiting was our township treasurer when he held kangaroo court over there at night, you know. One of the interesting things, when you mentioned treasurer, we had a treasurer. We didn't have a treasurer. That was one of the things when Don Smith came in. He set up by exam. And one of the ones that wanted to be treasurer and took the exam was our ex-senator, Bill S. Hoffman. And Bill Hoffman could not pass the treasurer exam, so he never received the job. But he goes on to be councilman, mayor, state rep, senator, and ends up head of appropriations for the state. I always thought that was amusing.
Well, he's got a better job than that, though.
Right. But he could not pass the Michigan Municipal League exam.
Well, now, then, so that it was one of the articles that we've had preserved by a member of the Historical Commission is a picture of the one of the children trying to jump over a big mud puddle in one of the roads in the spring here in the city. At the time that you voted for incorporation, what roads were paved in the city, or what was to become the city?
John R. was just a two-lane highway, though.
And 11 mile?
11 mile.
11 mile.
10 mile 12. Wasn't paved?
12 mile was.
12 mile was.
Then 10 mile.
Yeah. They were all two-lane highways.
With deep dishes.
But
on either side.
On either side.
The south end especially.
Efficient.
south of 11 mile, every spring was a quagmire. It was the frost would go out and the people would have to park on John R. and walk all the way almost to DeQuinder to get home. And so this was one of the things that we promised when we were trying to incorporate, was that we would get them out of the mud, we'd pave streets, we'd give them water, we'd give them sewer. So in the first 2 years that we were a city, we paved we paved the residential streets up to Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Up to Lincoln, from 10 Mile to Lincoln, and we put in sewers. I think we separated sewers at that time too, the storm from the sanitary.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that during the time that the water and sewers were constructed on John R., that they even found where a main water main was put right through a sanitary sewer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. we paved these residential streets down there, gave them good water supply and sewer, and for that the township, the old township bunch, says, "See, I told you." Because it was a necessity thing.
Mm-hmm.
We told you that it was going to cost you a lot of money. So here you are. Now you've got big bills to pay. And so the whole gang of us got thrown out of office after 2 years because mm-hmm. the township...
3 years,
wasn't
it?
2.5 years,
actually. 2.5, actually. Yeah, we're right. Yeah.
So we were all thrown out of office, And then the following 2 years, the township bunch was in there. And they threw you out of office, Harry. And we...
And Horky resigned.
Well, but we... They didn't do one single thing in the next 2 years. The following 2 years was just dead. Nothing happened in the city because they didn't want to. They didn't want to burden the people.
Thanks.
And people wanted it, but they people are funny. They don't want to pay if they don't have to really. But I went around. I know that this was one of my arguments whenever I went door to door campaigning to become a councilman again. I was, would you trade your street if I gave you back your money? And he, hell no, we never do that. So the following time, the township bunch was thrown out of office after their 2 year term. And then, of course, George Harkey
resigned.
Yeah.
So when did he resign?
While he was on office.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't resign, he was just out of office, wasn't he?
No, he resigned.
He resigned. Yeah.
In the meantime, Dick Marshall was appointed.
No.
City manager.
Yeah,
he was a friend of the township's, in a way.
Well, he told me he never knew these fellows, that they knew of him in Oak Park, and they asked him to come in.
Yes,
as city manager.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I thought
he was a
uh-oh.
Super city manager.
He was
the best
real super.
We ever had.
He was a politician over there.
He was just mayor. He was mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He was mayor in Oak Park, and I said whenever the township board or the city council, the township city council appointed him, I said, they have him in their pockets. So, because he was a politician and he would just work it as a politician.
That wasn't so, though.
No, no he was actually the best manager we've ever had.
That's right.
And he's been one of the ones who stayed the longest too, was he?
Yes.
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 Because I remember he came in here into the library. Must have been. Well, no, he had retired, and he used to make an annual trip from Florida to northern Michigan, and he would use 75, and when he'd get to Madison Heights, he'd come off and he'd stop and say hello at City Hall, and he'd come over here to the library because Mrs. Saint-Amour used to provide him with a box of paperbacks that had been donated at the back door, and she'd let him take them out the front door. And on his way south to Florida, he'd drop the box off again and go down to Florida. But so I got to meet him maybe once or twice just after I was hired here. So I was hired like in 79, and he stopped in maybe two or three times, and then I think he's since died, I think.
Yeah. There's one manager that nobody ever said a word against. Everybody thought he was a super person. They may not have liked everything he did, but they didn't criticize him for it.
No, he was very fair. And he was kind of intelligent.
Oh, very intelligent. He was an attorney, you know, but he never practiced law.
Well, he moved to Canada.
No, he had a cottage up there. He was down in Florida.
But
he had some family problems, and I guess between his family problems, that is, not between him and his family, just his.
So,
he must have been hired then at what point? He was hired when the people, the second council, right? So he would have come on sometime in like 58.
Yeah.
Well, then did you, when they had the election then for the third council, were you able then to resume? Was the new council then able to resume water and sewer and street activity?
yes, we progressed then, and while Dick Marshall was in there, purchased this property for nothing.
For nothing?
Wasn't Bill Huffman in office then?
Yeah.
He was mayor then.
No.
No, he was just on the council.
He was on the council.
He was purchased.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, wasn't it sometime around, I'm not sure of the dates, it was sometime, wasn't it, in 56 or 57 that they developed the shopping center at 12 Mile and John R?
Yeah,
wasn't it sometime in there where Hudson's opened that?
The George Horky farm, mm-hmm. the family farm.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he moved. That's when he moved down to
Ron Monroe, wasn't it?
Yeah, down Dundee. And he's, I guess he's still farming there.
Yes,
he is. He's still there?
Mm-hmm, he's still there.
You buy a bag of potatoes once in a while at Horky's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's still there.
So he's still into that.
Well, he used to conduct his business out in the field on a tractor on his farm here when he was supervisor. Anybody who wanted to see him had to go out in the field to see him.
Because your supervisor's out there on his tractor.
Yeah. Well, that's the way you do it with most supervisors out in the rural areas.
And he conducted the township meeting. He would always vote first.
And
then the rest would know how to vote. And every now and then, Tom Houston would be paying attention. He'd say, "How'd you vote, George?"
That's right.
Remember
that's
those
right.
days?
That's right.
George always voted first.
George voted first,
and
he set the pattern for the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they all followed because George, I suppose he could have put anybody in office that he wanted to, because at that time we weren't very wise in campaigning. We learned an awful lot
from George.
Right, from George.
You know, he to look at the man and to talk to him, he looked such an insignificant person. You'd never realize that the man had the intelligence or the power that he had here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was on the Board of Review. He made the mistake of appointing me there, and I took liberties that I had no right taking, because I checked to find who was assessed at what, and I found a number of properties that were never on the tax roll. Never on the tax roll. And they were all good supporters of George Horky. And I took the liberty of changing assessments on people that were way down to nothing. And I thought I had that power, see. And George didn't tell me any different. So I changed the assessments on many parcels that were all friends of George's.
Wouldn't he have a 40-acre farm here?
He had a 40-acre farm, yeah, right on the corner there. It wasn't all his. It belonged to his sister and
different members of the family.
But that was one of the first pieces of property that went for a good price. I think it went for $8,000 an acre at that time.
Mm-hmm.
That was
in those days. That would have been really terrific.
And so, I guess he was just glad to get out of this, because he was being outnumbered already, you know. And so, I'm not sorry that we incorporated, because I feel sure that. This would have been the first integrated
area
in Michigan had we not, because we had the two police and fire departments. It was under civil service, and they were getting a little edgy. They wanted to be, whenever they were promoted, it would go according to
seniority.
They could be switched from West 8 Mile over to the fire department here, sleep here, eat here. The next step was, why can't I live here?
They have some colored men on the Civil Service Commission, didn't they?
Yes. And my neighbor, Bob Skidmore, was police chief over in Royal Oak Township. Frank Richardson was chief here, and he was chief over in Royal Oak. But you know, you never did keep your campaign promise to me, John.
Oh.
I lived on Greg for 38 years, and it's never been paved.
We were really? The first ones. We was the first really? Ones that signed a petition.
You lived on Greg too, didn't you?
No, I lived on
Wolverine off of Greg. Oh. But
it hasn't
it's
been
never
paved
been
today.
Paved. No. Like they never kept their campaign promise.
And I heard it was going.
No, I'm in an apartment over on John R. now. It's been a year now.
Well, I don't want to overdo our first experiment here for the Historical Commission on taping what people remember. I thank you all for coming, truly. And I know it was on the strength of Harry's name and stature that you three agreed to come.
Not really.
This is about all there is left.
No.
And I thank you for coming and sharing what you remember, because you each had an important role to play in that beginning for the city. And I hope that we'll be able to do more of these as time goes on, perhaps even putting some on videotape, because I think that people like to be able to see who those people were that did these neat things. So thank you for coming today. I really appreciate your taking the time to do this for us.
Don't we get paid?
Never have.
This is like the old township.
As soon as Greg gets paved, we'll think about that.
See?
You know, you can't afford it now. I could have got it paved for $300. You know what it is now? To pave my street? $12,000.
So thank you very much.